my friends, and welcome into this edition of the JMAC Podcast. Lots of things, important things to cover today. So I'm so glad that you are here with me. I have an interesting discussion that I want to have with you regarding an announcement that Apple has made regarding their iPhones and that they're going to scan your iPhones for a particular type of thing. A lot of people are applauding and others are saying, wait a minute, this seems really strange, especially for Apple. So we'll talk about that. Also, some key COVID updates. And again, I want to attack some of the myths and rumors that are out there and see if we can bring clarity to this whole COVID-19 madness. So let's start off with this announcement from Apple. Now, Apple says they're going to scan U.S. iPhones for images of child sex abuse. And I thought about this and I heard it and my first reaction, I have to tell you, was, what? Really? Now, those, you know, child advocacy and child protection groups are cheering this move. But I have to tell you, I'm really surprised by it. And I'm really conflicted by it. And in fact, we'll talk about this on Tuesday night at 9:30 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. If you want to share your thoughts, you can also put it in the comments of this update. Please do, because I want to hear from you. It says, Apple unveiled plans to scan U.S. iPhones for images of child sexual abuse. This drawing applause from child protection groups, but raising concerns among some security researchers that the system could be misused, including by governments looking to surveil citizens. The tool is designed to detect known images of child sexual abuse, called Neural Hash. That's the system. It will scan images before they are uploaded to iCloud. So I thought, okay, so it's not actually scanning my phone. If I choose to use iCloud and have my information stored on their servers, then that's when the information will be scanned. So I'm like, okay, that's a little bit better than them scanning my phone and I can opt out of iCloud. But then it says if child pornography is confirmed, the user's account will be disabled and the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children will be notified. Separately, Apple plans to scan users' encrypted messages for sexually explicit content as a child safety measure, which also alarmed privacy advocates. The detection system will only flag images that are already in the center's database of known child pornography. Parents snapping innocent photos of a child in the bath presumably need not worry. But researchers say the matching tool, which doesn't see such images, just mathematical fingerprints that represent them, could be put to more nefarious purposes. This is Matthew Green, a top cryptography researcher at Johns Hopkins University, warned that the system could be used to frame innocent people by sending them seemingly innocuous images designed to trigger matches for child pornography. That could fool Apple's algorithm and alert law enforcement. Researchers have been able to do this pretty easily, he said. Other abuses could include government surveillance of dissidents or protesters. What happens when the Chinese government says, here is a list of files that we want you to scan for? Does Apple say no? I hope they say no, but their reaction, their technology won't say no. Again, I'm really conflicted here. Tech companies, including Microsoft, Google, Facebook, and others have for years been sharing digital fingerprints of known child sexual abuse images. Apple has used those to scan users' files stored in its iCloud service, which is not as securely encrypted as it is on device data for child pornography. Again, it's one thing when you're asking them to store the information on their servers, but so many of their systems now involve servers, right? I mean, how many things actually stay on your phone and exist on your phone? This is one of those situations where we have to remember some of the guiding principles of our society. We choose privacy over catching criminals all the time. We choose civil rights over catching criminals all the time. And each time a new technology comes on board, we're faced with this question over and over again. What's more important? The catching of a criminal and the stopping of something as abhorrent as child pornography, or the protections of privacy and civil rights? And sometimes you can't have them both. And I share this example with you all the time. You've all seen it on CSI or on Law and Order. And of course, you know, I have a Law and Order degree. When let's say that somebody has been caught and charged with committing murder, maybe they're a serial killer. And evidence, they want to present evidence in court. They search the storage locker of the individual, and they found images of him committing the crimes against his victims. But it turns out that they didn't get a warrant to search the locker. Do we say, well, it's more important that we protect future victims and that we get justice for those victims? Or do we say it's more important that we protect rights and privacy? What do we do in our society? In our society, we let the serial killer go. Literally, that's what we do. Because we choose the privacy and the right, we say it's more important. So here we are in a situation where, in order to try and protect children, worthy cause, we're going to be scanning people's personal effects and documents, and the Constitution saying that you should, your documents should be kept private without a warrant. Now, that's with the government intruding on you. That's not a business intruding on you. So there is a difference here, and I acknowledge and recognize that difference. But in general, do you want to create a society, and where is the line, where your devices and your documents and anything digital that passes from your device to a cloud are subject to scrutiny? Digital, electronic scrutiny, algorithmic scrutiny. Where is that line? Now, the line here is you have a choice if you are an Apple user to say, I'm going to turn off iCloud, or to say, I'm not going to use Apple. I'm going to go to somebody else. But my bet is this is going to be a practice that gets picked up by Google and the other services as well, and Android. So, you know, it may be to the point where you're like, okay, then I'm not going to use a phone. And then again, I look, as a company, it's their right to do this. I have a choice whether or not to use their services. I think, though, and I'm still processing this, so please help me out. I think that the standard, even though it empowers crime, I think that the standard should be we don't search your stuff. We don't look into your stuff. It's yours until there is probable cause to do so. That, to me, is a standard that should be held across the board to avoid a police state, to protect privacy and rights. Does that empower the criminal? Yeah, it does. But it's always been that way. Always. It's always been that way. The right against illegal search and seizure, or the right against search and seizure without a warrant, it empowers the bad guy. It always has. It's the reason why we're not very successful in the war on drugs and on gun control and those types of things, because our pesky little rights get in the way. But we choose that over catching the bad guy. We do it all the time. So I really want your feedback on that. That's my initial thoughts, still processing. Please put your comments in the comments. Please share this video so we can spread it and see what other people think. And I want to know, will you be keeping your iPhone with knowing that they're going to be searching through your photos? Will this impact your decision to own a device? And again, we'll talk about this on Tuesday night Mountain Standard Time at 9:30 p.m. I'd love your live feedback at that time as well. So that is the Apple iPhone situation. Let's now move over to COVID and just a tragic story. This is a Republican official who mocked COVID in his final Facebook post, dies of the virus in Texas. Now, I want to preface this. It's very easy to go out and find one story to match a particular ideology and to say that this story is the reason why all similar situations should be held out that way. I don't like to do that. That's a tactic that politicians use. That's a tactic that others use. So typically, I won't go and grab one story and say, see, this is why you shouldn't mock COVID, and this is why you need to get vaccinated, and this is why all Republicans are wrong. I don't like to do that. So you might ask, well, why are you sharing this story now? Well, I'm sharing it because of what he posted. And yeah, I think it's an absolute tragedy that he died. He didn't have to die. If he would have done a little bit of research and just looked into a little bit about what he was saying. That's the tragedy for me here, is clearly by what he's posting, he didn't take the time to just go through the most logical of questions. So here's the story. This is a Texas GOP official whose social media posts include anti-mask and anti-vaccine rhetoric has died from COVID-19. He, according to the Galveston News, was a member of the Galveston County Republican Party and Dickinson City Council. He's 45 years old. Just a tragedy. In his last Facebook post on July 30th, he shared a Twitter post mocking COVID-19 that said, in 6 months, we've gone from the vax ending the pandemic to you can still get COVID even if vaxxed, to you can pass COVID on to others even if vaxxed, to you can still die of COVID even if vaxxed, to the unvaccinated are killing the vaxxed, the post read. He was admitted to a Galveston hospital 2 days after that post with pneumonia-like symptoms. According to his GoFundMe page, he tested positive for COVID-19 and was placed on a ventilator, who died around 3 a.m. Wednesday, according to GoFundMe. This is what's so sad to me. This is what's so frustrating to me. Everything in this statement that he shared is incorrect. And some simple common sense and removing yourself from the political rhetoric, maybe doing a little bit of research, he might be alive today. I don't know if that's true, but he might. So let's pick this apart a little bit. He says, in 6 months, we've gone from the vax ending the pandemic to you can still get COVID. Wait a minute. It's been clear. Yeah, the vax could potentially end COVID if the majority get it. If we can develop herd immunity, but you've never been told that just because the vaccine is available, it will end the pandemic. It's always been based upon the willingness of people to get it. And because so many are not getting it, then it's not ending the pandemic. It's like you were told, oh, we have a vaccine, so the pandemic is over. No, you were never told that. This is so frustrating. Then he says, then you go to you can still get COVID even if vaxxed. I've shared this with you over and over again. We have known from the moment the vaccines were released that you can still get COVID if vaxxed. We've known that the maximum efficacy rate of the best one was 95%. That left 5% of people still available to get vaxxed. This is not a change. He's acting like this changed somewhere. When did this change? This did not change. This was from the beginning. Yet it is being presented as though this changed. And that's a reason not to trust. So the first two statements here are ridiculous. They're nonsense. Then he says we go to, you can pass COVID on to others, even if vaxxed. We were never told whether or not you could do that. The jury was always out. But then we get the Delta variant. And the Delta variant changed things. One of the reasons we got the Delta variant is because not enough people got vaccinated soon enough. So COVID-19 and the Delta variant are different things. So you're going to have different results, different research. When you pretend like it's all just SARS-CoV-2 with no mutations and no variations, and this all changed under that, well, maybe you have a case. But even then, you don't, because we're still learning about COVID. We're only 18 months in. So can you pass on the vax to others, even if vaccinated? New research from the CDC says with the Delta variant, yes, you absolutely can. That is an update in research and a change with the Delta variant. Then it comes to you can still die of COVID even if vaxxed. Again, the efficacy rate was never higher than 95%, ever. We knew that breakthrough cases would happen. And if we knew that breakthrough cases would happen, then we knew that deaths would still happen. This is a load of crap that is being spread around. And it just takes just the simplest amount of thought. And to go back and see what was really said, and maybe if you're just paying attention to one news feed or stream, maybe you never heard what was actually being said. It was always filtered through a political lens. Then to the unvaxxed are killing the vaxxed. Well, again, if there's if the maximum effectiveness is 95%, and you're going around unvaxxed and you're still spreading it around, then that means there's going to be 5% of the vaxxed who are susceptible to you spreading it around. And yes, they can die. Do you see what I'm saying? This is just nonsense. And it is so infuriating. It is so infuriating. None of this statement is true in the way that it was presented. I had somebody else on TikTok saying, well, you'd never know what's true because they're flip-flopping, just like our own Utah representative. Chris Stewart said the CDC is flip-flopping. They flip-flopped again. It's not a flip-flop. When you have one virus and then it mutates and everything you've been told was about the first virus, and now you have the second one and we learn new stuff about that one and that it's as contagious as chickenpox and you can still spread it as vax, that's not a flip-flop. That's new research on a new strain. Oh, it's just maddening. It is just maddening because people are dying because they're believing this nonsense that can be so easily spread. And again, with the help of Republicans, if they would pull their head out of their political you-know-whats, they could be helping to save lives. And you know what? Guess what? We may be on the verge of another flip-flop from the CDC. Why? Well, have you heard of the Delta Plus? This isn't a frequent flyer upgrade on Delta Airlines. This is a new variant. It's Delta Plus. It is at least as bad as the original. We're still learning about it, but it's all over California. Delta Plus. Now, if they come out and say now with the new Delta Plus, we have new research for Delta Plus. Oh, you can't see that. And it says this? Is that going to be a flip-flop? let's see. This is Bay Area health experts are keeping a close eye on yet another variant, Delta Plus. They said, we believe that it's at least as bad as Delta. This is from Dr. Peter Chin Hong, an infectious disease specialist at the University of California. We don't know if it's even worse than Delta yet. When I say worse, we think about number one, is it more transmissible? Number two, does it evade vaccines? We don't know yet. So let me tell you what's going to happen. If Delta Plus is, if it's less impacted by the vaccines and it's more contagious than the Delta, then the CDC is going to come out with new updated guidelines for Delta Plus. And what is Representative Chris Stewart going to do? He's going to come out and say, you're flip-flopping again, you're flip-flopping again. And more people are going to go on social media and say, you're flip-flopping again, you're flip-flopping again. And more people are going to die. This goes so far beyond mask mandates. How about a truth mandate? How about a common sense mandate? People could be living, you could be saving people's lives. If you took a moment to find out the truth. Oh, okay, I'm going to breathe in with the good, out with the bad. How about some good news? This is a new study that says people who got a flu shot earlier this year may be less likely to suffer a severe COVID-19 infection down the road. This is new research. It's not a flip-flop. New research. The study published in the Journal Plus One on Wednesday analyzed the electronic medical records of more than 74,000 people from the United States, the United Kingdom, Italy, Germany, Israel, and Singapore who tested positive for COVID-19. Researchers found that those who had gotten the flu vaccine during the previous 6 months were less likely to have had health complications related to their COVID-19 infections. I can hear the anti-vaxxers now saying, see, it was the flu. Is this a flip-flop? Every time we get new research, is that a flip-flop? I appreciated this. Got a lot of ABC News stories today for some reason. As he recovers from a breakthrough infection of the coronavirus, Senator Lindsey Graham said Thursday that he has urged former President Donald Trump to press his supporters to get the COVID-19 vaccine, which the South Carolina Republican called the antidote to the virus that's wreaking havoc on our hospitals. I've urged him to be aggressive and say, take the vaccine, Graham said in an extensive interview with the Associated Press. His first since disclosing this week that he had tested positive for the virus months after being vaccinated. Let's see if there was anything else in this story. On Thursday, Graham said he had just gotten off the phone with Trump, who had been checking in on him every day during his illness. Isn't that kind? He applauded Trump's work to develop the vaccine and said he saw vaccinations as necessary for the country to regain its footing. He's very proud of what he accomplished, Graham said. From a conservative person's point of view, we should do all we can as a nation to get our economy back up and running and to protect our way of life. Once again, where is the Make America Healthy tour where former President Trump touts the vaccine, he touts Operation Warp Speed, he talks about how amazing it is and encourages everybody to get it and inspires patriotism and love of country and love of the citizens of this country? Wouldn't that be amazing? Lindsey Graham, you give me so much freaking whiplash, I don't know what to do. You know, one day I'm just celebrating what you're doing, and other days I just don't know what the crud is going on. Finally, this. Oh, let's take you here. Donald Trump sent out an email, still raising money. And in this case, if you donate, you get the official Trump card. Have you ever wanted to play a Trump card? This reminds me of the woman's card. Remember when Hillary Clinton came out with the official woman's card and I carried around for a while so that I could play the woman's card when I needed to? Well, now you can play the Trump card. You can see it's the official Trump card and that it's authorized. This was interesting to me. It's authorized by President Donald J. Trump. Isn't that interesting? This is being rolled out after he's left office, still calling himself President Donald J. Trump. He says supporters can carry the Trump cards. This was an email sent on Wednesday. The cards are emblazoned with the former president's signature in gold lettering. There was one misspelling on the back, the word official misspelled. It says the card you select will be carried by patriots all around the country. They will be a sign of your dedicated support to our movement to save America. And I'm putting my full trust in you. You're going to get a Trump card? I'd like to have a Trump card just to, you know, play it when I need to Trump something. But can't really use that term anymore. Can you? Just curious if you're planning on getting a Trump card. Let me know. I might just to have one, you know, because I got the woman's card. Think about the power. If I have a Trump card and I have the woman card, what else do I need in life? Hey, please take a minute and become a supporter of this podcast. As you noticed, I'm now bringing you daily updates and chiming in on the important issues of the day. If you like what you hear, if you're informed by what you hear, please know it costs me money to bring this to you. I love to do it, but I got to pay the bills as well. So scan that flow code if you're watching with your phone, or go to jmcfarland.com. If you're listening, become a one-time donor or a monthly donor, and that will help me out. Patron. I shouldn't say donor. That sounds patron. That will help me out. If you can't, I totally understand, and I'm always going to provide this to you live. If you can't, then the next best thing you can do is to like the video, share it, subscribe on whatever platform you're on. That will go a long way. More coming up. I'll have some stuff coming up over the weekend. I'm also going to start reposting these updates. So if you miss them, you'll get flagged and you'll be able to watch them. With that, thank you very much, everybody. Have a wonderful weekend. And thank you for joining me on the JMAC Update.